Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again. And this time, I am with Auroville Radio exploring the idea of education in arts, animation, and filmmaking. This is my second session today. In my first episode, I explored the education in arts. Today, I'm going to explore about animation and a few things that will be so amazing. So to begin with, just like arts, I would like to explore what is animation. Well, to introduce people who don't know about animation to animation, animation is the illusion of movement created by a series of pictures. But how it actually works is a bit more complicated than that. Let's start by giving animation a clear-cut definition. Animation is a method of photographing successive drawings, models, or even puppets to create an illusion of movement in a sequence. Because our eyes can only retain an image for approximately 1/12 of a second, when multiple images appear in fast succession, the brain blends them into a single moving image. To create the appearance of smooth motion from these hand-drawn, painted, or computer-generated images, the frame rate is considered. This means the number of consecutive images that are displayed each second. So for each second of animation, 12 frames have to be created. 12 frames per second allows for motion, but may look a little bit choppy. Moving characters are usually shot on twos, which just means that one image is shown for two frames, totaling in a frame rate of 24 frames per second, which is often used for smooth motion. In traditional animation, pictures are drawn on painted or transparent celluloid sheets to be photographed. Early cartoons are examples of this. But today, most animated movies are made with computer-generated imagery or simply called CGI. Now that we know a little bit about animation, I would like to dive deep into the illustrious history of animation. So where did it all begin? The history of animation encompasses several stories. Like all histories, it began with individuals. In this case, very creative, very innovative people whose talent, ingenuity, and vision allowed them to go beyond the art form as they found it. Because animation combines artistry and technology, its history also involves the development of techniques and procedures which varied from simple paper cutouts to elaborate computer setups. Many of these innovations were created against the backdrop of complex studio systems in Hollywood. The stories of these studios are another element of animation history, as is the development of unique artistic styles associated with these studios. And finally, the characters themselves, who were created by mere mortals, but often took on immortal and fantastical lives of their own. And their biographies are another integral part of animation history. The earliest attempts at animation can be found in cave drawings of animals drawn with legs in several positions to imitate motion. The effort to analyze motion and film culminated in an experiment by photographer Edward Maybridge to settle a bet with Leland Stanford, then governor of California, as to whether all 4 feet of a racehorse were off the ground at the same time. Maybridge set up a 12-camera setup with tripwires. As horses passes each one, a photograph was snapped. By looking at all 12 pictures, Stanford was able to see that at one point, none of the horses' hooves were touching the ground. Maybridge found a way to project these animated images and showed them to none other than Thomas Edison, who was inspired to invent the kinetoscope. By looking through this machine, viewers could see a flickering, minute-long motion picture. The movie industry had been born. Animated films began as an offshoot of trick photography movies or trick films, popular in the early 1900s. In the beginning, just the novelty of an animated drawing was enough to captivate audiences who were getting used to seeing live-action motion pictures. As audiences gained sophistication, cartoon makers kept the public's attention with broader humor, appealing characters, and better drawings. Two early experiments were J. Stuart Blackthorne, with his humorous Faces of Funny Faces in the year 1906, in which an unseen hand draws words and pictures, and the second one is French artist Emile Cole, who made Phantasmagorie in 1908, in which stick figures metamorphose against black backdrop. But the creation of animation as an art is often credited to newspaper cartoonist Winsome McCay, who produced more than 4,000 meticulously drawn pictures for his first animated cartoon, Little Nemo, in the year 1911. His second film, The Story of a Mosquito, portrays an encounter between a drunken man and a mosquito. But his third cartoon, he made another giant leap forward into imbuing his character, Gertie the dinosaur, with a personality. The mischievous Gertie eats, breathes, laughs, and cries. And even today, Gertie the dinosaur is considered one of the greatest animated films ever produced. As Leonard Maltin wrote, Winsome McCay breathed life into an inanimate character, and this was his greatest achievement. It did not go unnoticed. Gertie was so successful that it made people forget the animated films that preceded it, even McKay's own. For years, Gertie had been named in film histories as the first animated cartoon. With all its impact, it might as well have been. In a filmed introduction to his vaudeville act, Winsome McCay drew Gertie for a group of friends in a New York restaurant. So with all that history behind it, let's find out next how a cartoon is actually made. Many people are amazed when they learn how much skill, effort, and labor are involved in making a cartoon. Thousands of drawings and cells and dozens of finished background paintings, plus a script, a musical score, special effects, and voices are required for each minute of animation. Every animation studio followed its own production pipeline, but most had the same general plan. In most studios, ideas were fleshed out on storyboards, where gags were plotted and refined. Usually, dialogue was recorded before the drawing commenced, so that the animators could time their sequences to the words that were being spoken. Once the story was finalized, the work was divided up. In most cases, several animators worked on every cartoon. For every second of film time, between 12 and 24 drawings were created, each only slightly different from the preceding one. The master animators drew the main poses for each character, expertly capturing motion and expression. In-betweeners drew the rest. These drawings were then traced onto celluloid by inkers. The back of the cells were painted to exact specifications. For the average short film, about 4,000 animation drawings and cells were required. At the same time, background paintings were prepared for layout and background artists. Cameramen combined the cells and backgrounds, shooting each cell against the proper background in continuity, frame by frame. Musical scores and special effects were then added to the finished film. Two important stages in the creation of animation. Animation drawing from Northwest Haunted Police. Thousands of animation drawings were produced, each slightly advancing the motion. Now, with all these work that has to be done, animation drawings were also then traced onto celluloid. Backgrounds were painted separately, and cameramen would combine the cell with the proper background and shoot them in sequence. This is all the procedure that is required for shooting, a very, very laborious procedure, I might add, for shooting an animation film. We must also explore the technology that is used to create the animation. Throughout the years, animators have embraced technical innovations to make their laborious job easier. The finished film looks better and the images are more spectacular. The first major innovation was the use of celluloid overlays. In the earliest animated cartoons, such as those of Vincent McKay, the artist had to draw everything in the picture, over and over, on paper, with only slight changes in each drawing to create the illusion of movement. Pioneer cartoonist producer J.R. Brav first patented the use of celluloid sheets in 1914 to paint the static backgrounds. The moving characters, still drawn and animated on paper, were shot through the clear portion of the cell overlay. Artist Earl Hurd patented the use of cells later in the same year, transferring the animated characters from paper to cells and photographing them over the static background. The basic method of hand-drawn cell animation still practiced today. The use of cells shortened the production schedules and made possible the mass production of animation. Max Fleischer invented the rotoscope in 1918 as another method of speeding up cartoon production. This device enables an animator to trace live-action photography one frame at a time for animation purposes. Actors were filmed simulating the desired action so that the animators could see and capture that movement of actual bodies. Though not as practical as Max envisioned, the rotoscope has become a valuable tool in special effects field and has enhanced many animated features, including The Lord of the Rings. Color and sound, 3D and CinemaScope, all came to animation the same time that Hollywood adopted them for advancements in live-action subjects. Prints still survive of hand-tinted color cartoons made during the silent film days, including McKay's Little Nemo. Max Fleischer experimented with sound cartoons in 1924 with a series of sing-along DeFrost phono films. But it was Walt Disney who popularized sound cartoons when he introduced his most illustrious character, Mickey Mouse, in Steamboat Willie in 1928 and put full-spectrum three-strip Technicolor on the map with flowers and trees in 1932. Bringing visual depth to animation had been an ambition since the 1930s when Ub Iwerks and Walt Disney each developed separate multiplane systems and Max Fleischer's studio built three-dimensional sets for these cartoons. The early 1500s brought on a 3D craze in which several studios brought popular characters, including Bugs Bunny, Popeye, Woody Woodpecker, Donald Duck, and Casper to the fore, with the help of irritating glasses. Widescreen CinemaScope had been used for many shots, especially ones featuring UPA's Mr. Magoo and MGM's Tom and Jerry, and feature-length films Lady and the Tramp and Raggedy Ann and Andy, among others. CinemaScope backgrounds are wider, and layouts are designed for horizontal staging in an effort to fill our peripheral vision. The technique was used to great effect, particularly in the Disney shorts Toot Whistle, Plunk and Boom in 1953 and Grand Canyon Scope in 1954. CinemaScope cartoons look best in big theaters on large screens, rare in these days of tiny multiplex cinemas and home video screens, making them hard to appreciate today. The next major technological advance was the development of xerography in the late 1950s. Xerox duplication of pencil art into cells, eliminating the inking process, became the industry norm during the 1960s. This speeded production and was championed by TV animation producers. Though surprisingly, it was Disney Studios that first made use of this procedure. The scratchy line of xerography has many fans mourning the lost art of hand inking. In recent years, colored inks have softened the harsh look of xerographed animation cells. Today, computer-generated ink and paint has completely eliminated the use of cells in many films and television shows. Tightly cleaned up animation drawings can be scanned directly into the computer and colored, with the final finished frames output directly to 35mm negatives. In addition, complex computer-generated dimensional background settings surpassing the multiplane sequences created by Disney and Fleischer in the 1930s can easily be composited into the scene. With the advent of digital age, all these technologies have now become obsolete. Hand-drawn animation are now directly being created on a computer. But just as in the day of Vincent McKay and J.R. Brough, it still takes a human artist to draw each character movement by hand. That hasn't changed and probably never will. The technical innovations of the past century have helped filmmakers improve their craft and significantly contributed to the continuing popularity of the art form. Thank you.
Oui, vous écoutez Auroville Radio from Auroville, la ville internationale in India.